You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
If I don't love you, baby, bricks ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. I'd light on my baby, stay with my woman till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I'd take a 10-foot ditch and run all through the jungle, fighting lions with the switch. Because you know I love you, baby. To me, baby, and be convinced. If you're running to me right now, woman, you ain't got no sense, because you know I love you, baby. Oh, you know I love you, baby, yeah. Well, if I don't love you, baby, I'll tell you, we ain't poultry, we ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. And Mona Lisa was a man.
And Groceries by Lil Milton. Lil Milton, yes, here on K108. It's time now for the Carol Cox Show on this Sunday morning. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And Carol has a guest in the studio this morning. Pam is going to join us in a few minutes. But right now, here's Carol Cox.
All right, good morning. Grits and groceries. Ain't groceries and eggs ain't poultry. Well, anyway, good morning, everybody, and I have Pam Davis with me today, and we're going to be tossing around a few subjects that some of you might have a real interest in, and not knowing that you're being impacted by the NGOs, as a lot of you probably hear that word of that acronym tossed around, but not really knowing what it really means. And that NGO, non-government organization. And you might not be aware of it, but they play a very critical and key role in shaping legislation, shaping law, shaping whether it's Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or animal rights groups, or the Sierra Club, or EnviroWatch, or all of those. They or we have great influences, and we find our ways to the state legislators, and we get into the legislative process, and we tend to influence law, sometimes not well thought out, but and so what we're going to do today is I want to share with you how this works and give you a little insight and show you some of the frailties or some of the inadequacies and some, I'll describe it as some childlike behavior on the part of some of the NGOs, because you may not know it, but there's really not a real entity that sits back and govern these organizations and monitor what it is they do. a lot of them are carried by the momentum of the issue or the momentum of their emotions. And whether it's animals, the environment, clean water, clean air, it's left up to the individual, organization, or who's pushing it to be ethical in their approach and not be unfair or be tainted by or being prejudiced by certain things. But anyway, Pam and I are going to toss it around, and you can call in at 524-1080. You can pick us up at carolcox.com. That's CARROLLCOX.com. That's the radio show and its podcast. And Pam, good morning. Thank you again for the returning and daring to sit and talk with me again. But what? Let's just start off. We talked before, and you participated in conversation on, for example, the Humane Society of Hawaii and the Humane Society of the United States, and involved with the Norman Payne matter and the Animal Haven Rescue.
Yes, Animal Haven in Waianae.
So what happens is that we see some behavior there that's questionable, and there was recently the Humane Society of Hawaii and the United States advocated, tried to pass a bill, SB 2800, and I'll just real quickly, it was to relating to the offenses against public order.
Correct.
And then, so can you tell us what happened, how it came about, this bill, and then what the final, or the, I guess, the outcome of the hearing? There was a hearing on this bill by the JGO and the State Senate.
Yes, there was a hearing on Friday, which I attended, and the bill was heard. This bill, according to Pamela Burns, the executive director of the Hawaiian Humane Society, is the outcome of a series of talks mm-hmm. that they convened. In fact, Ms. Burns thanked Mr. Taniguchi, Senator Taniguchi, profusely for setting up this, quote, task force,
mm-hmm.
Which, in my understanding, it really wasn't actually set up. The bill or the it was never signed by the governor. So
mm-hmm.
these meetings were convened under the auspices of the Hawaiian Humane Society, as far as I can tell. They hired a someone to help with that.
To facilitate these so-called meetings and of the task force.
That's correct. And Animal Advocate Inc., that's my organization, was actually invited to participate. However, we did decline.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons for that involve some of these issues that you just mentioned in mm-hmm. your opening remarks. But at any rate, the Humane Society of the United States, in the person of Inga Gibson, and Pamela Burns of the Hawaiian Humane Society, gave testimony in support of SB 2800. It apparently, according to them, sort of tweaks the language in a very necessary way
mm-hmm.
For them to deal with situations such as the Cat Lady case, mm-hmm. which we investigated.
So, but the Cat Lady situation was manageable, and their existing laws could have been enforced, and that would have addressed that problem. Am I correct?
Yes, we believe so. In fact, at last year's legislature for SB 1222, that was our bill, the Hawaiian Humane Society and the Humane Society of the United States both testified in opposition,
mm-hmm.
stating that the existing law was sufficient
mm-hmm.
and that our bill was not needed. However, it did pass.
But you were the original author of the bill and approached and lobbied the state legislators.
Yes.
And then they, for lack of a better word, commandeered or got involved and, in fact, came in and testified against your bill?
Yes, they did.
Saying that the existing laws were sufficient?
Yes.
But then, 2 years later, they come along and say, we need to...
1 year later.
Well, 1 year later. I'm sorry,
yes.
I have a memory. Yeah, 1 year later, they come back and say, oh, we need to refine this law and revisit it and build a better law.
Exactly.
So, So that's okay. That's the process of legislation, making it and writing it and introducing it. And nothing sinister about that.
No.
But you went in and testified on this occasion to an opposition of the existing bill, the bill that is being introduced now, SB 2800. Right?
Yes, I did.
What was the final outcome of that visit and that bill? What is the status of that bill?
Well, the bill was deferred.
Okay.
So I don't know if that means it's dead. It may.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally, if you get a bill that's this deferred, you might as well say rest in peace.
Yeah.
Unless you really go back and fight it. But I also sent in testimony, and so that brings us now, how does this relate to my opening statements? Your testimony, as well as my testimony, was that in the form we put it together, and mine was basically saying, we should not, to the legislators, we should oppose this bill because we don't trust the ethics, we don't trust the intent, and what is the motivation behind the introduction of this bill, and the case in point and why that is. And we felt strongly, I felt strongly, I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
Yes, but I feel strongly as well.
But we my testimony and yours were similar, and the very points were the Humane Society of the United States and the Hawaiian Humane Society goes in and introduce this bill. They didn't incorporate everyone, but that really is not the real issue. We then reflect back on the Norman Payne situation, Animal Haven.
Yes.
Where there is a federal lawsuit.
Yes, a federal lawsuit was filed on September 11th of last year.
Mm-hmm. And claiming some very serious mishandlings and missteps on the part of both the Humane Society of Hawaii and the Hawaiian Humane Society, I should say, and the Humane Society of the United States.
Yes.
And then so we then try to convey, and in our testimonies are similar, to convey to the senators that we shouldn't trust anyone or entertain anyone that has behaved in a fashion as they have the allegations made by Mr. Payne and his attorney. And that is, they came in under the pretenses of helping, and they were wearing fake badges.
Yes.
And also manufacturing, the allegations and brought by the attorney and everyone else, that they were there manufacturing evidence.
Yes.
And then sending that evidence and putting it together and referring, giving it back to the Hawaiian Humane Society, who had, we understand, there's allegations that they had met.
Yes, there's an allegation of a surreptitious meeting,
right,
having been held at the Hawaiian Humane Society headquarters building.
Before all of this transpired, and so what then happens is that they go in wearing fake badges. They are not law enforcement people. And then we've pointed some of this out in the past on earlier shows where and had some of the former employees or contractors that worked for the Humane Society of the United States informing us that some of the behavior that they
on the mainland
is actually causing the question civil rights violation.
Yes, which Mr. Payne is asserting it, that his civil rights under the Constitution, the 1st, 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendments,
mm-hmm,
as well as defamation of character.
Mm-hmm. And so now the same two proponents of this bill who ferreted it in, or I should say shepherded it in, this bill and orchestrated it, go before the legislators while knowing there's a federal case against them about their behavior and integrity. You would think one would hold off making anything of law and go back and work on the problems of the allegations or try to address or try to improve or try to review these things. But instead, what happens, they come in, they wear fake badges, and we understand per the Humane Society, the Hawaii Humane Society, Keone Vaughn, they obtain an affidavit from Scotland Hazley,
Yes.
Of the Humane Society of the United States.
Yes.
Who basically, in some other instances, called the general public scums, or he wanted to scare them when he wear his fake badges.
Yes, intimidation and...
Yeah, so the question is, why would the Hawaiian Humane Society affiliate remotely or even in any degree with the Humane Society of the United States while they know or should have known or exercised caution?
Very good question.
You know, so they go before the legislators with this bill in hand, and the legislators basically rejected it or deferred it for whatever reasons. I wasn't present.
Yes.
So now we have the public. Any individual out there is subject to this tainted oversight that is given to or invested in the Hawaiian Humane Society, for example, by the Honolulu Police Department chief, which is a city contract. It's not, don't want to sound like it's the Honolulu Police chief who did it. It was actually a contractual part of the operations of the city and county of Honolulu.
Right, they have the animal control contract.
Right, and so with that, they're deputized in a sense, and they're able to go out and enforce the law.
Yes, and actually, we received an email from Inga Gibson of the HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, June 11th of 2008, actually. And I'll quote you her statement to us. On Oahu, the Hawaiian Humane Society is the agency that has been granted the legal authority to investigate animal welfare complaints. So that right there, Carol, shows you that Inga Gibson and the HSUS knew that they have no legal authority to conduct these things.
And their main office is based in Maryland.
Yeah.
They say they're an international office, but they don't have any international law enforcement authority. So here's where the real issue, the crux of this problem is that the city and county of Honolulu deputizes the Humane Society, the Hawaiian Humane Society, and we see this being repeated in other states, and we'll be able to show we have some other cases that have come up recently. But when you find a problem with the Hawaiian Humane Society's operations and the enforcement, who do you turn to?
I don't know. Who do you turn to?
You wrote a letter to the city and county of Honolulu and the city council and everyone but Jesus, I think. And
yes.
And you, did you ever get a response?
No. The Department of Customer Services, the city Department of Customer Services, sent me what they call an interim letter,
mm-hmm.
which basically said, we've got your letter and we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was months ago. We've never had any response from any of the city council people. We gave them each a letter.
Mm-hmm.
We also have filed complaints with Kauai County as well because of the involvement of Rebecca Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. So even though that you file complaints, no one's called. So basically they being the city administrators, give the authority of enforcement, but yet when you write to share with them or inquire about bad behavior or questionable behavior, it falls on deaf ears. They don't even bother to respond. So imagine, folks out there, any of you is basically a sitting duck. Just any given day, any given moment, any one of you, either of you, out there in the public, may experience this problem. And they can destroy your life because we see now that they orchestrate. And then we'll demonstrate that in Mississippi. I'm told by employees of the Humane Society of the United States that in one case there, the person that was there doing part of the interpretation, this gentleman spoke Spanish, threatened this gentleman with deportation if he did not release his animals. They had no authority to be there wearing fake badges in Mississippi.
Well, it's terrible. I mean, what has happened to our constitutional rights? Where is our republic?
Right. Well, you know, people say animal rights. Which one, can there be a balance struck in animal rights and civil rights of human beings?
Yes, most definitely there can, and there should be. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we told the legislature, is no matter what your opinion is of Animal Advocate, Inc., or myself, when organizations lend themselves to incorporating fake badges into their work, they should be chastised.
Yeah, like put in jail. Yeah, because that's the ultimate offense, affront to civil rights. When, I mean, it's no different from a guy wearing a fake badge to pull over a woman and rape her, or assault her, or pull over a person and rob them by wearing a fake badge. But here, these people can go into your property, taking video, recording your voice, doing all that without a search warrant, knowing with specific intent to come back and submit that to the Hawaiian Humane Society, in our case here, so that they can seek prosecution.
Because they are the ones with the enforcement authority, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you are Animal Advocates, Inc. I don't believe that I've ever seen anything in your behavior that you would tolerate the abuse of any animals.
Not
but
any.
I also hear and watch you that the Constitution of Human Rights is also, and I believe there can be a balance, or regardless if I believe it or not, there better be a balance. And
yes.
So that's the problem. One example of nonprofit organizations, which the Hawaii Humane Society is, and the Humane Society of the United States.
Correct.
But they internally enforce the law on themselves.
Self-regulating.
Self-regulating and self-motivating and self-funding but it's a train wreck that at any given time it shows up in the form of a good news story. Seizure of 400 animals. And later tonight on News at 6. And you have the heads of the organizations, the Humane Societies of the United States and whatever local entity there, smiling, saying we hear it. And in some of these cases, it's really shameful. Okay, 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call and join in with Pam Davis and myself talking about NGOs and what have you. Now, animal rights. And some people argue that animals don't have rights. Well, they don't need rights to be respected. You care for them. It should just be a natural thing. Nobody want to be abused, so you shouldn't be abusing animals and neglect them and what have you. In this case, though, wearing fake badges and then having the audacity of that to go into the state legislators and try to enforce a law and author a bill and go through the process and be a paid lobbyist to do this.
Yeah, it's almost a...
No shame.
Yeah, it's sort of an attempt to rehabilitate their image, I think, that's
yeah.
been damaged by this lawsuit and other actions on their part.
Now, so the listeners out there are probably saying, well, this is just rhetoric. It's real. Now, we haven't confirmed this, and I got an email from the mainland telling me the individual that came up with was part of the idea of using fake badges in these and making threats and strong-arming people, and I'll describe it, because the worker who was present in Mississippi described it as that, as strong-arming, and threatening the guy with deportation if he didn't sign over the animals. Allegations that, see, in every state, you need to be licensed in that state or have a reciprocal license with that state as a veterinarian. There are allegations that one of the main veterinarians for the Humane Society of the United States goes into other states and practice medicine, veterinary medicine, when they seize animals and euthanize these animals, because the bulk of them get put down right away.
Yes, that's what I understand.
Now, what we did receive is an email saying that Scotland Hazley, the gentleman who was here leading the charge, wearing the fake badges and incorporating the fake badges in the operation, recently resigned. Now, we can't attribute that resignation, if it's true. Now, I'm still trying to confirm. I don't have any reason not to, but benefit of the doubt, we don't. The information we received is that he resigned. He, in turn, brought these fake badges into the operation and this behavior. So what do we do with this?
Yes, Scotland Hazley is one of those named in Mr. Pang's lawsuit.
And he's the one that gave an affidavit.
Yes.
To the Humane Society. This is per Keone Vaughn.
Yes.
So now, if we take this, and just on its own, one can argue, but we recently received some information from someone alerted us that this is a Kello TV back in South Dakota, and a gentleman by the name of Don Jorgensen wrote an article dated February 1, 2010. And he indicates that in that, the Humane Society of the United States was present in South Dakota. And what happened there?
Well, surprisingly, or not, another lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
The First Judicial Circuit Court in South Dakota issued an opinion January 29th, which was filed February 1st. So this is all very, very recent.
Mm-hmm. But what happened in there? Folks, I don't want you to just listen to me singing a sad song or picking on other people. What happened in this case? The courts ruled that the head of a Humane Society facility, we'll call it, I don't recall the name, right? The documents are right here. Her name was Quinn. She actually presented false information to the courts to obtain a search warrant. That they indicated that the search warrant had been served, and then she came back days later and wrote an affidavit for the search warrant.
Yes, to quote, it says, Animal Control Officer Quinn testified that she was specifically directed not to disclose information
mm-hmm.
to the issuing court, although she did find it relevant to disclose prior incriminating evidence. So it says, clearly any reasonable person would know that the omitted information was the type the issuing court would want to know in determining probable cause.
Mm-hmm. So, again, now, we're not picking on anyone. I'm just going to give the facts, the straight skinny, so to speak. And that is, if you saw this document, and I would encourage you to go to, we'll post it up on carolcox.com. This is the First Judicial Circuit Court ruling. It's a memorandum of opinion, State versus Daniel Reed Christensen, Turner County. The criminal case is 09-82. So, the warrants were largely executed by agents from the Humane Society of the United States with assistance from ACOs Quinn and Wig. No South Dakota license participated in the execution of the warrant.
Yes.
And, I mean, this just goes on and on and on. And, again, who are involved? The humane... And that term, largely executed. Well, first of all, if you don't have any law enforcement authority, you're not an agent of the court, so therefore you shouldn't be serving a search warrant.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be executing a search warrant.
Correct.
So people don't understand. And what happened, and the courts say in this, as they were there doing this with enforcing the warrant, they hadn't told the courts the truth about the evidence that they had obtained the warrant for. They went and got the warrant, went served it, and I don't know how that worked. I guess you get your affidavit, maybe it was a telephonic, I don't know, maybe they declared an emergency of some sort, the effervescence of the case, meaning that things wouldn't be the same when they return.
Mm.
So imagine, I wish we had 2 days to talk about it, but people would be shocked.
Well, they would, and it is frightening. I mean, while we are an organization dedicated to working on behalf of animals, you also have to be concerned with the rights of people.
You'd better be, or you end up in court. And you know, I mean, it's gone too far.
Well, it is frightening, really. It is frightening to think about illegal search and seizure and violation of our constitutional rights, all in the name of helping animals.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very troubling.
The Jim Montgomery case here locally, they went in there, and I'm privy to a lot of the information as it was unfolding. And I tell you what, if he had stood up and fought it, he pled out. But I saw some things in there that mirrored this exactly. But again, the way it's done, and it's a tremendous expense, folks, to try and fight off this. Once they come and put their hands on your forehead, you're done. You're doomed, unless you got lots of money.
That is true, and also, I mean, just, you know, it damages your... your name. I mean, regardless of the outcome, you know, people remember.
Well, you know, I'm going to do one thing here, and I'm going to take a break for 1 minute and gather some documents here, and we're going to talk about another organization, the Pew Foundation, and some of their operations here locally.
Okay.
Mud. Anyway, I don't want to say this is mud slinging, but you know. Anyway, I said I'd talk about the Pew Foundation, and I want to share with the public again the whole idea and the central point here is who's policing the nonprofits, organizations that enforce our daily lives, believe it or not. Now, as you know, I do a lot of things. I go out and I investigate and I try to report and I write and wherever I can, every means that I can to bring it to the public's attention. Now, there's this issue on shark fins. Many of you have heard me talk about it. And I've spent hours and hours. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many hours and months I've spent on just tracking down shark fin and the trade of it, because I'd like to see this horrendous behavior of this practice stop. It decimates our population of sharks in the world, because everybody's seems to be targeting sharks, big bucks.
And it's also extremely cruel.
Oh, well, I mean, it's like having your feet and your hands cut off and say, okay, go back out there. Oh, by the way, let me have your ears, too. I think there's, you know, people would like to eat them, too.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're there, you defend for yourself. How do you feed yourself? But it's just an act of cruelty, and it is something, and it's wasteful, on and on. But anyway, there's the Pew Foundation here. Their main organization there in Washington and Philadelphia.
That's a Pew, P-E-W?
Yes. And you hear this program is partly funded by the Pew, and they've done some good stuff. Here's the problem. Locally here, there's a gentleman by the name of Jay Personas. So, now I had been approached a couple of years back by Pew and its lawyers and others asking to get me to give them information and work for them to get information on the shark fin. Well, I declined because I don't want to work for anyone. I think this information should be out there, and we work and we share. And so here recently, in the last 9 months, this gentleman, Jay Personas, calls me up, all excited, representing that he worked for Pew, and Pew wanted to do something about the shark fins. And I was the go-to guy. Now, hearing half of the story, you would think that either I'm a dummy or that's a very smart person. It's neither is true. What it is that when you're committed, as I am, to the protecting of the environment and the animals, you don't look over your shoulders, because those that come and bother or betray me, there's something out there that takes care of them. They either find themselves failing in other jobs or whatever, and I don't worry about it. But this gentleman came, and he represented, and I thought, okay. He said, well, we're going to go to the state Senate, the Senate in the U.S., because the House had passed the bill.
In Washington.
In Washington, D.C., and he would like to have the information. Pew wanted the information. And, of course, hey, if I can't get it accomplished and I have the tools, let's work together. So gave it to him, and he was going to put a binder together, a briefing binder to go to, and he represented 60 Minutes was going to do a story, and he represented the Washington Post. And, you know, again, I want you to carefully hear this now. I don't want you to go away that I had been duped or tricked. You see, I want to make sure that you don't, because I don't think there's a person out there want to match wits. But this nonprofit organization, Pew, funds these individuals, and one of them being Jay Personas. They were instrumental in getting the National Sanctuary, Northwest Hawaiian Island.
Oh, the Marine Sanctuary. The
Marine Sanctuary. Mm. And they have been behind the whole process of attacking Kitty Simons with in the Western Pacific Fisheries Council. So they have this money, and they find these individuals who are willing to take the money and become pundits or become pawns, so to speak. I'll describe it best like that. They don't really have an official title, but you find them in many instances, places. So anyway, this gentleman, I give him the information, and we were going to go to Marjoro. Pew was going to buy cameras. And because, you know, I was the go-to guy. Well, all of that was a lie. But, you know, for me, like when anyone approaches me now, it's not that I don't trust them. It's just that he wasn't aware that when I did interact with him, I made darn sure that I record every conversation with him to reflect that if he, in fact, I advised him, if you are coming here and misrepresenting the truth, I will hold you accountable.
Very smart, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast here. I've had my experience with the nonprofit organizations going to do good, but they have no constraint, no self-management, no oversight.
No oversight, yeah.
You know, you're at the whim of whatever you want to do to get the mission done, it appears. So anyway, what I'm going to do is I want you to hear, this is Washington, or I'm going to say Washington, D.C.'s part of Pew responding to me when I call them up to tell them about Jay Personius?
You know, I think what's going on here is, I don't think you're getting all the straight details on a lot of this stuff. I think Jeremy does work with us, but you know, I think that it doesn't sound like Jeremy has been on the up and up and straight forward. I'm very upset with him, and I will be reprimanding Jeremy for his actions. You know, this is he misrepresented a lot of things in here, and I'm quite upset that I can call him and reprimand him and basically give him hell, and
right.
That's what I plan on doing. I can tell him he can no longer have any contact with you.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell him to turn over anything that he has of yours
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
I will then take it up with everybody else that he works with here to make sure that they're fully aware of what has taken place. And, you know, we have a contractual relationship with him.
Right.
And, you know, his contracts are time limited. So
yeah.
I imagine we will look at that time limitation and kind of have a serious discussion about whether that any sort of contract goes forward with.
Okay. This is Matt Ryan, the head of the Pews side of looking at global shark finning issues and conservation and preservation. So Jay Personius has actually worked for Fred Hemmings in the state Senate.
Oh.
And he's, as he did, this is what he told me. And then he also had work relationship with either Fred Hemmings and Clayton Hee.
Hmm.
Now, so they come along and he bothered himself to go out and get this information. I mean, he could have had it just by asking me, but instead he had to be tricky and cloak and dagger type. And little does he know, with every act of trickery when it comes to me, there's a cost. You know, I mean, I like the, you know, that fat, dumb, and happy look that I because I don't worry about it. When you're doing good, you don't look over your shoulders. You know, it's the guy who's sneaking around to steal from you usually falls and trips.
Well, that's true. I mean, you can't assume right off the bat that everyone has bad intentions.
Exactly.
You're trying to help the animals. They ostensibly are trying to help the animals, and so why wouldn't you cooperate?
Right, and Pew Foundation, I mean, like I say, they've done some great programs and things of that nature, but who polices police the NGOs?
Right.
Now, this is just chapter one in this thing, because, you see, as talkative as he was, Matt Ryan was, and promising that he was open. We have other conversations that we talked, and he describes it that it was wrong. But after that, I've attempted to call him, and he then zipped up and said, well, you know, we can't talk about this because it's an administrative matter. Regardless of how they impacted me, it's an administrative matter.
I see.
You see. But this is just the first installment. I have other things that I will be doing to bring this to light. They will not operate here in that fashion, just like the Hawaiian Humane Society. Inviting people wearing fake badges just won't get it.
Yeah, it's having an impact on our citizens of Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be concerned about our own citizens and protect them from these kinds of organizations.
Well, while you're talking there, a listener called in and said he tuned in late. Well, first of all, be early. The show starts at 8 o'clock, and it does not... 8:05, be there and be square. Anyway, he wants to know... he wants to you to introduce yourself.
Oh.
What organization are you from?
Okay. My name is Pam Davis, and I'm president of Animal Advocate, Inc. here in Honolulu. And
mm-hmm.
we do work on behalf of animals.
Mm-hmm. And people.
and people.
Okay, don't forget.
And the people who are interacting with those animals.
Yeah. So I hope, I guess the caller hung up, or I don't know if that's sufficiently, but nonetheless, and you'll be coming back more often than none now, and hopefully we toss more subjects around. But this is life-changing moments when these people get involved in your life, when they shape legislation. And this Pew folks, they made Kitty Simon's life miserable. And she's the executive director of Westpac. Now, Kitty is not perfect. And I, if you look at my history of writing, I've written things and bringing to the public's awareness some of the behavior that she's committed and the acts of behavior. But when an organization such as Pew fund these guys over here, the, quote, environmentalists, and they then do the work such as coming and stealing information from me, knowing and misrepresenting the facts while claiming to be protecting the resources. What kind of person would do this? I'm not a psychologist, but your opinion, what kind of person would knowingly come and lie to me, knowing that I have an ounce of smarts about me, knowing that this is an island community, and eventually I'm going to find out? Wouldn't you think, what kind of person would be so careless and insensitive not to think that this may come back and blow up in his face?
They may not really understand the island community, really, that we have. It's quite different from the mainland, but I would say that their motives would probably just be money.
Yeah.
In the Pang case, I believe, didn't they use the videotape that they took to try to put it on their website?
Immediately.
Monetary donations.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that that's probably their motivation.
But also to accomplish, to get their mission, whatever their mission is. So you then start to ask, if you're willing to submit yourself and lend yourself to stealing, you know, from a person like me and misrepresenting.
Right, stealing your work.
Well,
your intellectual property. I mean, all of these things are reprehensible, and you know, we shouldn't have to deal with these things here in our state.
Yeah, well, you know, and there's a shark fin bill. I applaud them, but you know, the points that I want to speak to is the fact that this person comes working for Pew, whatever form he is. They weren't clear, but he said contractual, and that he would look at it and cancel all the contracts. But again, now, how does this relate to other organizations? The Conservation Council of Hawaii. We talked about them having access to the state DLNR's website,
yeah,
posting their information. He's housed in their organization, in their building, or share the same office. So they're all like the hand in the glove.
Right, right.
You see?
They're cozy.
Cozy, and so they lend themselves. So on one hand, now on my website, I have posted a video of Laura Thielen, of the chairperson of the DLNR, and Peter Young making presentation at the Westpac fisheries meeting. Personius wanted me to film that. He wanted to hire my company to film. But he wanted to focus on making Laura Thielen looking good.
Oh.
So if you go there and you'll see Thielen, to carolcox.com, you'll see Thielen talking about openness and transparent and talking through, you know, chastising the federal government for not being open.
Oh.
Yet I just filed a request for information from Laura Thielen, and immediately she sent it to the Attorney General here to hide behind that, and will give me some documents, but will charge me $130.
Yeah, for public records.
Right.
And that's transparency.
This person either is Casper the Friendly Ghost or the spook from Russia. He's calling back, and now he wants to know your website. I mean, man up and... What's your website?
Okay, sorry. It's www.animaladvocateinc.org.
Right. Okay, I hope that. Is there any, you know, blood type or whatever? You let us know, and, you know, we'll try to get that to you, too. You do have blood, right? Red blood cells?
I suppose it is.
Oh, okay. I don't know why one would call in and, you know, I mean, come on. It's we're talking about animal rights and people rights.
Yes,
so
we are.
You're welcome to be overt about these things. You don't have to sneak around and, you know, I feel like... I'm going to see the Wizard of Oz.
The man behind the curtain.
The man behind the curtain. You know, phone sure brings out the worst in people, huh?
Yes, it can.
Yeah, they just, it's like, put a name with a face if it's if you mean well, you know. But anyway, this is what, you know, in the Hawaii fishing news this month, I encourage you to go out there, not because I wrote an article in there, but it talks about some things with Laura Thielen suspending the head of the DAR, Department of Aquatic Resources,
Dr. Pohima.
Right, doctor, for 10 days.
Wow.
Now, that seems to be an innocent act, but here's the problem. The submittal of the budget was due. So he's out of the picture.
You know,
He in turn was suspended for 10 days.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So the problem is that they were not able to submit the budget. Who put the budget together? Then she left the position open for Mark Young of the Coast Guard, and I'm astounded that the Coast Guard, as reputable as they are, would lend themselves to allowing one of their workers to be handpicked in the state office and that position be held open by the state. I'm going to be asking the Coast Guard about that and filing a complaint with the Coast Guard administration, asking why, what kind of officer would lend himself to this behavior?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Anyway, we'll take this subject up again, and thank you for joining me. Tina Quizon is coming up next with good subjects. And who's your guest today? Who's your guest?
We have Dr. Paul Hepperly will be calling in, talking about economics, environment, our soil, and also Dr. Sandera.
Okay.
Delfini.
So
talking about health.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Carol.
All righty. Okay. Well, hope to see you again. You can go to carolcox.com, and aloha.
This is how we do it.
The west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shark cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, they
must. Oh, ooh, yeah. I'm wrong when I'm looking at you. I keep thinking, why can't she be like you? So I'm scheming. I can't go on like this, believing that her love is true. Oh, standing on the dance floor while she's tricking. You are all I want, girl. She's a chicken. We might be together.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.